Question 31 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is effectual calling? And the answer, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. That question is dealing with how the Holy Spirit applies or puts people into possession of Christ's redemption and all its benefits. The Catechism rightly teaches that this is brought about by means of effectual calling. We observed last Sabbath that the very term effectual calling suggests that there is another calling, ineffectual calling, which of course there is every time the gospel is preached. When the gospel is preached, a call from God is issued. Proverbs 8:4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Three times that word, come. In the New Testament, this is confirmed in our Lord's own parables. In Luke 14, the Lord likens gospel blessing to a great feast to which men are invited. And in Luke 14 and verse 16 it says, a certain man made a great feast and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So there is a call through the gospel to men everywhere who hear it. But sadly, on account of inner corruption, rebellion in the heart, even enmity in the heart, sinners do not respond to that call. And therefore, we have other verses to that effect. In Proverbs 1:24, the Lord says, I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. We have it in Isaiah 65. When the Lord says in verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day. That is, in the loving invitations and entreaties of the gospel, unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own hearts. The fact that he stretches out his hands all the day indicates that there is no response. And in the passage I've already cited in Luke 14, our Lord confirms that, because when the servants representing the ministers in that parable went out to call men and to say, come, for all things are now ready, our Lord says, And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. So the call which is extended in the gospel is ineffectual. It proves ineffectual. Sinners do not answer it. Sinners do not respond. A question which might then arise in our hearts is, well, why is this ineffectual call given then? If it always proves ineffectual. Well, that's a very good question. I think it deserves an answer. We can say in reply to it that the ineffectual call is given for the following reasons. One, thereby God asserts his sovereign claim on sinners, whether they will recognize him or not. In the gospel, he commands men to repent. His commandment is that men might believe in his only Son. And God thereby impresses upon men his sovereignty. They may not recognize it. They may not respect it. They may not act upon it. But he is sovereign. And he calls them. Secondly, the ineffectual call shows God's benevolence or his kindness. Oh yes, it is ineffectual. But the fact that the call is ever given shows to this unbelieving world that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And he makes this very plain by causing the gospel call to go out into all the world. Why does he do it? He does it in his benevolence to dissuade men from destroying themselves. So God's benevolence and his kindness and his goodness is thereby displayed. Thirdly, the ineffectual call is given because it exposes, as nothing else does in this world, the sinfulness of men. The ineffectual call goes out and sinners reject it, even though mercy is proffered, forgiveness is proclaimed, an entreaty is made to souls to turn and be saved. Men say, we will not have this man. And so the sinfulness of man is exposed. Fourthly, the ineffectual call is given. Maybe it doesn't save anyone. Indeed, it doesn't. But it does have effect in the world short of salvation. We think of Herod, who listened to John the Baptist. And it tells us in Mark 6:20 that hearing John, he did many things. Oh, he wasn't converted. It was ineffectual in that respect. Nevertheless, it had a restraining influence upon Herod and a reforming influence upon Herod. And my dear friends, when you look at this country, we can say, well, it has not been converted as a whole, but the gospel has certainly been good in the land. Otherwise, we would have been barbarians. the influence of the gospel has been beneficial through the great prison reformers like Howard, through those who sought the liberation of slaves like Wilberforce, those who sought to rescue neglected and oppressed children like Bernardo. It has had a beneficial effect on the world. And fifthly, I would say this. The ineffectual call has maintained the visible church in the world. You see, if you say, well, there's no point in the ineffectual call being made, no point in the gospel being preached, then you remove the ministry. You remove the ministry. You remove the visible church from the world. But God would have his church as a city set upon a hill. And the basis of its existence is the preaching of the word. And the preaching of the gospel and the inviting of sinners. But there is one other reason, which I've not mentioned, why the ineffectual call needs still to be delivered. And it is this. Strangely, it is through the ineffectual call that the effectual call takes place. You see, you have a verse like this in 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save. And so God, for his own wisdom's sake, has decided and determined to work with the ineffectual call and to bring about the effectual call. So the two work side by side. So you can say to me, why is the ineffectual call made, given that it is ineffectual? And I would say, because God attends the ineffectual call in the case of many people, making it effectual. So it is necessarily attached to the saving work of God. So what is this effectual call? Well, we have as good a definition of it as we shall find in the answer to this question, 31. Here's another answer given by an American theologian called Dr. Abraham Anderson. He says, the effectual call is the irresistible and saving operation of God's Spirit on his elect, renewing their heart and persuading them to return to God through faith in Christ according to his word. It is an actual translation of them from a state of nature to a state of grace. Now, before we proceed any further, let me raise another question. What is the essential difference between the ineffectual call and the effectual call? Well, there is a difference. There are differences, and very important ones. First of all, the ineffectual call proceeds from God's general goodness. But the effectual call proceeds from his special love for his own. Secondly, The ineffectual call, as to its means, is by the word only. But the effectual call, while working with the word, is by the means of the Spirit of God. Thirdly, the ineffectual call consists of persuasion and entreaty, an invitation. But the effectual call consists of a creating work upon the heart. Fourthly, the ineffectual call is extended to all who hear. Unto you, O men, I call. Proverbs 8:4. But the effectual call is to God's elect only. My sheep, hear my voice. And fifthly and lastly, the ineffectual call differs in that it falls short of salvation. But the effectual call attains to it. Always. It never fails. Now, let's establish some general points here at this point concerning the effectual call. Now, we've made the point that it's nothing audible. Not that a man wakes up in the middle of the night and says, I heard God speak to me last night that I was to come to him. It's not audible. It is defined by the Catechism as the work of God within the soul. Why is it called a call? Because it has the effect of a call. It brings us to the Lord. Now, let me make these points as we continue. First of all, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. Now, we touched on this last week. I referred you to Ephesians 4:4. There is one Spirit, and ye are called in one hope of your calling. But here's another verse in Ezekiel 36. And verse 27. Ezekiel 36 and verse 27. It is a promise for the future when the gospel will be preached. And God says, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. The Spirit within the soul will effect a turning. It's the work of God's Spirit. The second thing I say about it is this, that it is something which belongs to the Lord's elect. In John chapter 10, and verse 3, we have this allegory expounded of the sheep and the shepherd, or the shepherd and the sheep, I should perhaps say. And in John 10, 3, the Lord says this, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now the voice is not the ineffectual word of the gospel, because it brings about the leading of the sheep. And it is personal. Look, he calls his own sheep by name. So it's not general. It's delivered to those who have been eternally loved. The same truth is in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, then the voice cannot be the voice of the gospel, because that's ineffectual. But this voice causes the sheep to follow. Who? The sheep. The sheep. God's chosen people. In Romans 8 and verse 28, you have those words so familiar to us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God's purpose is that his elect will be saved. And according to that purpose, he calls his elect. And so in the scriptures, election and calling are found together. 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Revelation 17:14, they that are with him are called and chosen. Called effectually. Why are they called? Chosen. The third thing I say about this effectual calling is that it takes place in personal experience. Already I touched on that when considering John 10:3. He calleth his own sheep by name. What does that mean? Does it mean that he names us? No. It means that in effectual calling, he deals with us in a personal way as he does not deal with others. So that we can be in a congregation of men and women, the gospel is being preached, the overwhelming majority are unaffected, but on that occasion the gospel comes to us with peculiar force. The Spirit of God is with it. And you say, well, I don't know what the others heard, but that was for me this morning. That touched me. It moved me. And it's brought me to Christ. It's personal. In that sense. You think of Lydia, there with the other women in Philippi. And it says in Acts 16:14, whose heart the Lord opened. That's effectual calling. Fifthly, let me say that there is a time for effectual calling, which God has appointed from all eternity. We are called, as we read, according to his purpose. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, he has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So it's all been purposed. All been decreed. As to when the Spirit will accompany the preaching and change your heart. It's called in Ezekiel 16, the time of love. beautiful expression, the time which brings us to the beloved. In Matthew 20, in the parable of the vineyard, our Lord says that he brought people to himself at different times. And if you look at it, Matthew 20 and verse 1, it says, he went out, the householder, early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Verse 5, again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out. The time was all arranged when these idle sinners would be brought to the Lord. Fifth thing I would say about it is this, that it is a mysterious and wonderful work. The Lord Jesus speaks of the work of the Spirit in John chapter 3. And he says in verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's a mystery about it. What our Lord is saying there is the Spirit's movement is like the wind. We know it by the effect. Thou hearest the sound thereof. The sound in the heart of man. Come unto me. The sound in the recesses of the soul. Come to Christ. But there's many things about the working of this Spirit that you cannot know. It is mysterious. Sixthly, it is possible to be assured that you've been called effectually. That this has actually happened to you. How do we know? Do we believe with all our heart in Jesus Christ? You say, I do. And most don't. And only those do who've been effectually called. So the existence of your faith is the evidence of your calling. Secondly, we can reflect upon what has happened to us. When Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling, and therefore your election, sure, he means be utterly convinced that it's happened by the change wrought in your life. So he says, add to this grace, another grace. If you do these things, you will make your calling and election sure. So, the believer says, well, am I effectually called? I believe, that's an evidence. But secondly, you know, I'm changed. I'm not the man I was or the woman I was. Before something happened to me, I once had no time for God, now he's the passion of my life. I rejected Christ hitherto, but now he's altogether lovely. I did not respect the word of God, but now it is more important to me than my necessary food. I never wanted to come to church before, but now my soul longeth for the courts of the Lord. I didn't know once what would become of me, but Now I have a hope of eternal life. So the soul, reflecting upon itself and the change wrought within, knows that something wonderful has happened, called out of darkness into marvellous light. And there's a third way, and it's mentioned in Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the immediate work of the Spirit upon the soul. And it's an amazing thing that sometimes the Spirit of God, in his own peculiar way, makes known to us that we are his and he's ours. We may be meditating and reflecting upon things, and the Lord draws near to us, and is it a comfort? Is it a strength? Is it a special faith wrought in us? But we rise from our knees knowing that we are his and he's ours. And the last thing I want to say about this morning as I draw to a close is, you know, it is effectual. I can preach from now till the day I die, and if it's just Malcolm Watts who preaches, and it's only the word of God which is proclaimed, not one soul will be converted. But if the Spirit of God is with the preaching, and with my exhortation deals with men, people will be saved. It is effectual. Now then, you say, we want proof of this. Well, I'll give you some proof. I'll give you some texts as we close. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Men are reckoned to be dead in trespasses and sins. Dead as far as spiritual things are concerned. Dead as far as the gospel is concerned. But when the Lord calls, even though there's no movement before, they that are dead hear and live. Effectual calling. John 6, verse 45. Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Now listen. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. But didn't they hear and learn of the Father by the gospel? Yes, they did. But when God extends the effectual call, they come. John 10:26. Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's an amazing thing. Hear what voice? The voice of the gospel? No! Because experience confirms that people hear the gospel and they do not follow him. This is another voice. It is an effectual voice. And when that is heard, sinners follow him. Acts 2:39. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, speaking of the Spirit and his blessings, he says, "For the promise is unto you," that is the promise of the Spirit and all the comfort and all the grace and all the forgiveness and all the prospect and all the assurance, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Spirit, with all the plenitude of blessing which is with the Spirit, is enjoyed by whom? Those whom the Lord our God shall call. When he calls, they come into blessing. It is effectual. Romans 8 and verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate," that is from eternity, "them he also called." So the calling was particular. It wasn't all men in the gospel. It was some men through election. Now listen. "And whom he called, them he justified." So everyone that is called is saved. That's not the call of the gospel, is it? I preach to hundreds and they're not saved. They're not justified. But when the Spirit of God calls his people, they are inevitably justified. It is effectual. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 18. Paul says, "The preaching of the cross unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." But look at verse 24. "But unto them which are called, the power of God." So the saved of verse 18 are the called of verse 24, and the called of verse 24 are the saved of verse 18. That is why in 2 Timothy 1:9 he says, "He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling." How has he saved us? He has called us. Why has he called us? In order to save us. It is, my friends, effectual. And what we have is the gospel call going out into all the world, proving ineffectual, which shows the sin of man. But then we have the Spirit's call, going to certain individuals and making them willing and bringing them to Christ and saving their souls. And that is to the glory of God. So the gospel tells me, I've ruined myself. By my hardness and stubbornness of heart, I refuse the call. Spirit says. But oh, the kindness of God, that despite that, He worked in you and He prevailed in you and He brought you to the Savior. I'm not here today because of the gospel alone. I'm here today because God's Spirit worked with the gospel and brought this struggling, kicking, rebellious sinner to the feet of Jesus. In one amazing, effectual call. Praise His name. Amen.